You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A few pages into Christian Jungerson's latest novel, You Disappear, Frederick Halling, the book's protagonist, is diagnosed as having a non-malignant tumor that is pressing on his brain's orbitofrontal cortex, the area of the brain responsible for emotion, judgment, and impulse control. Frederick's doctors warn his wife, Mia, that the tumor's pressure will cause changes in his behavior, and she recognizes that some of the changes have already begun. What Mia can't imagine that day that the tumor is diagnosed is just how drastically her husband's brain injury will affect their marriage and how it will not only cast doubt on their future together, but force her to re-examine their past. This is Christian Jungerson's third novel, and it remained on his native Denmark's bestseller list for an entire year after it was released in 2012. It's just been translated and published in the United States by the Nanne Talese imprint of Doubleday. I'm very pleased to welcome Christian Jungerson to our show.
Thank you very much.
Frederick and Mia are on vacation in Mallorca with their 16-year-old son, Nicholas, when they learn about the brain tumor, because he's ended up in the hospital as a result of a car accident?
Yeah, he starts driving like a complete madman and scares the family a lot, and they have a minor injury. And then during the brain scan, they find out that he's actually had this tumor for a long time. And as you said, that will cause Mia to re-examine who is she really married with? Is it the illness or the man? And what's his real self?
And she realizes pretty quickly that the tumor is probably responsible for this tendency to drive too quickly or his tendency to speak too loudly.
Yeah, a lot of things that has been happening lately, yes.
And on the other hand, she has some difficulty accepting the fact that because of the tumor is slow growing, it had probably been affecting his behavior for many years.
It has, and that's a big issue because later he's actually charged with a major fraud a year before he's diagnosed. And then the big question is, okay, everybody agrees that a long time ago he was his real self. Everybody, all doctors will agree that now he isn't. Now the illness is responsible for his actions. But at what point in that gradual slide can you say he's no longer responsible? At what point can you say he shouldn't go to prison?
Well, you revealed that fraud about a third of the way through the book, and I was wondering whether we should even mention it, because reviewers mention it.
Huh? Feel free to mention it.
Well, because this is really more a psychological thriller it is a mystery novel.
It is, absolutely, very correct. So it's a high-paced book. It's a psychological book, but a lot of stuff goes on. But the first third, also the first half, you can mention, but then a lot of stuff will also happen near the end, and we should not go there.
You tell the story from Mia's point of view. Why did you decide to make her the narrator?
Well, it is a book about Frederick's brain injury, but it is primarily a book about Mia, how she reacts to having a husband who's that sick. That is something that many people experience and which can be very, very traumatic, and you can feel very, very lonely with a sick husband. And then also it's a book about how her perception of everybody changes. She needs to learn all these neurological things, and that changes her view of what it is to be a person.
Well, the reader recognizes fairly quickly that although Mia is more stable than Frederick, she's not a reliable narrator.
Yes.
And she tends to justify, ignore, completely forget parts of her life that make her unhappy.
That is true. And as I said, she's changing a lot. The book is meant to be a page-turner, a book about a family, a book for and about people with brain injuries or other severe diseases. But it's also meant to be a study in how we all change now in these years when we get to know more and more about brain injuries, about neurology, how the brain works. This, in my opinion, will cause the whole society to have a different view of what it is to be a person.
Did you ever consider writing it from Frederick's point of view or as a third person?
Oh, I've considered a thousand things, Leonard. I cannot tell you. I've just written so many pages and thrown them out. Yes, absolutely.
And it would have been a very different kind of novel.
Completely
if Frederick,
different.
But also interesting because we would have seen how he explains.
There's a bit of it in the book because in the book there I inserted these kind of articles about the brain here and there, but also other issue, things from their lives. So, for instance, this letter from Frederick to his parents gives you an direct insight in the way he's talking and thinking and his being. So yes, that would be very different.
Mia recalls that the early years of their marriage weren't especially happy. Hadn't Frederick spent much of the time away from home, working long hours? He's a headmaster of a school.
Yeah, he's a workaholic. He's an absolutely alpha male. He's a headmaster of this private school, and he makes this school blossom, and everybody around him is happy. It just works very well. And then he starts to change. He starts to change in a way where he leaves work earlier. He likes to rest in the garden with his wife, watch TV with her, do these things, and she's so happy. But, of course, later on she'll have to question, was that his tumor? Was that just him maturing? We all change, don't we, through the years. But what's the real changing, the real eye changing, and what is the disease? It's so difficult to find out. And why does it really matter also?
Well, it matters to some degree because although he was the headmaster of a school, he wasn't the most attentive of parents.
That's true.
And also she learns that he's had an affair, and she winds up drinking a whole bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
And she winds up being hospitalized after the tequila incident. And that was before Frederick's tumor was diagnosed. But she sees it as a turning point in their marriage.
Yes, it's before it is diagnosed, but was it before it affected his actions? Nobody would know. So the book is about these people, and then also these are issues that we kind of all would ask ourselves, isn't it? I mean, when are we our real selves? When are we responsible? And do we have a free will? It's also a major issue here. Can anybody really be prisoned for anything? If we are all our brains, aren't we? I mean, we're all affected by chemicals and hits and things in our brain. Then how can anybody have a free will? That's one of the issues that this book tries to explore during this story.
My brain tumor made me do it.
Yes.
Frederick's father believes that Frederick was most himself when he was a workaholic.
Yes. And Mia, of course, believes that he wasn't.
As I mentioned earlier, this is your third novel. Your first, Undergrowth, was published in 1999, won Denmark's Best First Novel Award. And that also was a bestseller?
Yes. I've written three novels published in Denmark, and they've actually all been doing very well. I've been living as a full-time writer for 15 years now just because of three novels.
Had you been writing a lot before you published the first novel?
Yes, I've been writing, well, I suppose 10 years without really having anything published. I dedicated my life to it, and then suddenly the dam burst, and I've been able to live from it, and it's been brilliant. And The Exception was translated into 20 languages, and this one has also now been sold to 10 countries and still out there.
You worked as an advertising copywriter to pay the bills.
Yes.
And Peter Carey and a number of other writers also have worked as copywriters. Do you think that is good training in an odd way? Some people say, of course, advertising is all lies anyway, which is fiction.
Well, yes. Well, what is most lie? Oh,
I used to write copy. But I try to be honest, but, you know, I had a client to keep
happy. I think that is a very tricky question. I think in some ways it'll teach you a lot about being brief and writing in a way so people understand you immediately. In other ways, it might actually destroy something inside of you that you will not feel that it's destroyed while it's happening. There might be an honesty, there might be a sensitivity within you that you just lose and will have a very hard time getting back. So it's a delicate balance.
My guest is Christian Jungersen, Jungersen. His latest novel is called You Disappear. And you told one interviewer that you sometimes become so emotionally involved with your characters and their stories that you start to feel overwhelmed. Do you have to take a break when that's happening?
Oh, yes, a big one. That is, I suppose, the big challenge when you write, that you need to make these characters come alive to the reader, and that is the biggest workload of them all. People talk about research and just getting down and writing and working with the language, but for me, all that rewriting to get these characters to be real, that is the big challenge. And of course, they have to be real to me. And they and this in this book, they have some very, very happy moments and some so horrible moments in their lives. And of course, I get involved myself. And I, yeah, sometimes, a lot of times, actually, I get so involved that I just have to stop writing. Yes.
And you mentioned research. You, I'm assuming, did a lot of research in brain science.
Yes.
Was the interest in brain science first?
Yeah, it was. I have a very close friend all the way back from elementary school who's a psychiatrist. And I just noticed that when she would talk about her everyday work, she would just talk about people in such a different way from when I read about people in novels. And I thought, maybe there's something I can do there. Maybe I can try to expand the way we watch or see each other in fiction. So that was one of my primary goals.
And you've interspersed portions of scientific studies, other passages of nonfiction about brain injuries throughout the book.
Yes, and this is everything in the book that you read about this disease is absolutely correct. Frederick gets affected in a way he can remember, he can think, he can move, he can learn new things, but it's just his personality is different. It's like, as Mia says, it's like people demand of her that she should share her double bed with a burglar. It's like a completely different man within her husband's body.
Although she liked him best after, it turns out, after the changes started occurring,
well,
and he became a nicer guy.
That's disputed, you know. When was he his real self? They all have different opinions about that.
Well, she didn't know that he was also engaging in illegal activity.
Yes.
Secretly.
Yeah.
You also met with a neurophilosopher at Dartmouth College?
I did.
So what does a neurophilosopher do?
Neurophilosophers are philosophers who try to incorporate all the things we're learning in neurology these years. So if you go back to 500 years back, we did not have natural science, we'd have natural philosophy. People would philosophize about what the world is, where's the Earth placed in this solar system or the universe, what are the basic elementary particles. They could do nothing but think about it. And then they developed microscopes and telescopes, and they could start watching it, and they could find out all they thought was wrong. So right now,
although the ancient Greeks came up with the idea of the atom,
yeah, but they thought the world was made of soil and water and fire and air. It's so wrong, and these were brilliant people. That was what they had found out by thinking. So when you start to being able to measure, everything changes. And now we are right. These years, right now, we're in the middle of a process where people can look into the brain, measure what does it look like when you empathize, what does it look like when you're angry, and all these things will affect us so much, and it affects Mia in the book, but it'll affect you and me and everybody else very soon.
All three of your novels have dealt with illness. Do you have a special interest in that subject?
I do. I do, yeah. It scares me.
That's it? It's just the fear of you becoming ill yourself? But do you think that people reveal the true characters when they and their loved ones face a grave illness?
It's like illness forces us to face that we are bodies, that we're made of the atoms you mentioned before, that we can die. And when the people in my book, they have this on them, it's like they become more real to me. Like they are real and they can die and they're alive. So I like that actually when I write. But also myself, it terrifies me.
You speak English very well. The novel's translated from the original Danish by Misha Hoekstra. I wonder whether you worked with him on...
Very closely, yes. As I mentioned before,
you can't do that when you're translated into Chinese.
Or... No, so it's such a privilege to be able to do it. And also, if you have a book out in so many countries, you cannot do it with all these countries. But the English one, I've really spent a lot of time with Misha, and we've been going over actually every single sentence, just comparing sentence for sentence to get it just right. So I'm very happy with his work, and I'm very happy to be able to do that, this team effort with him.
Now, the movie options have already been sold for this book and also for The Exception. Would you want to write the screenplay?
I did write screenplays many years ago, but actually not. Actually, I'm so happy writing novels now. It is just such a thrill. I'm the director, the screenwriter, the actors. I'm the cinematographer. I'm everything in the book, and I have final cut. And it's just a liberty that's wonderful.
And a number of writers have told me that some do want to write the screenplays, but many say that is a real problem because they don't want to mess with their baby. They can't figure out what to cut out, and it's just better to give it to somebody else and say, okay, destroy it, but as long as I get the money for selling the screen rights, it's okay with me.
My book is my baby, that is true, and the film probably wouldn't be in the same way.
Christian Jungerson, his latest novel is called You Disappear. It's published by Doubleday and the Nan to Lease imprint, and I thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you very much.